we should, I think we, I got to get Andy in here. John White's on his way over as well.
It's a good thing that we got Michael on before John, because John is a talker.
Well, thanks.
And I love it when he shows up here, John. I mean, I've been friends for 100 years, and every time you think you've heard all the stories, he comes up with more, and they're all interesting.
Let me, you know, I was going to take a break, but I think we'll stay here, and we'll get Andy in about 5 minutes in, and John will be here. John usually comes a minute or two before the prescribed time. I told him he can sit in, but we're going to get conversation in with Andy this morning, and Andy Serling joins us. Good morning.
How are you? Morning. Hello.
You know, you sit here at Clocker's Corner, and there's nothing, there's no view like it.
Boy, they must, I tell you, they must have been pretty excited when you set up shop there. But they have almost like a full 2 weeks of you or something?
They do. They I think we'll have, let's see, today's Tuesday, so 4, 9, 10, 11, 11 shows we'll do from here.
Wow. 11?
Yeah.
Wow. I'm going to say it'll be by the time to leave.
I'm confident. It's, you know, what's
covered, they will or won't be.
That they won't be. Well, listen, everybody loves to talk. I mean, just this morning, just wandering by, we had just got off with Michael W. McCarthy, and earlier.
Is a W important? Is that like one of those little initials you have to give?
People
might confuse him with the other Michael McCarthy in racing.
Well, there's Trevor's dad, right?
Oh yeah, it could have been him. Because when was the last time he was in the show? No disrespect meant to a very nice man.
It's been
some steaks over the weekend.
Yes, he did. Yes, he
does. Does the term pretentious ever come to mind when you're like doing your act?
Pretentious? How? How am I being? I guess I could just say Michael McCarthy. I guess. I guess that's. Yeah.
I think that would be fine.
Well, you have to say Michael because.
I know. Or Jay will get very upset.
There is the McCarthy police. That.
Right. Right. Sergeant Primbin will check in. I guess.
No, we had fun. You just grab people coming by. That's what makes it. Yeah, makes these trips.
So I'm assuming there could be a dwindling crowd there every morning going forward.
Don't, why do you got to be like that? Why, you know, that's not right. That's not right. No. We just talked to Michael about Endlessly, and, you know, that was a practical, that the way he's approaching this with Endlessly, for instance. I mean, just, you know, acknowledge it. Yeah,
he's a smart guy. I mean, it's not, you know, he's a good obviously a very good trainer, but also a very bright guy. I think he's being realistic. Did they up the American Turf to $1 million this year? Also,
I haven't.
You know what's funny? Tell me, look that up. I thought they bump a bunch of purses because it happened to $500,000, right? I'm going to look actually at this.
That sounds about right.
It's possible, right? They bumped a bunch of purses. That's the only reason I was just looking at the condition book yesterday. So I was talking about the Derby draw is now a week out. The Oaks is out, is 8 days out, and the Derby's a week out, which is great. That's really, it is 600,000 now.
Well, that's
which is not bad.
No.
I mean, I'm assuming he's Kentucky. Is he a Kentucky bred? 100,000 is Kentucky bred money.
Yeah. Good point.
No, he's a good horse. And, you know, with races like the American Turf and then, you know, the Belmont Derby, which obviously will be the Aqueduct Derby this year, and the Saratoga Derby. You know, those are big purses, grade ones. I mean, no, and this is a really good horse. So I really like that he's being realistic. The other thing is that, in theory, maybe it opens up the field a little bit so more, you know, some horse with a little bit of a chance can get in.
Well, speaking of which, I'll make for those that are on Twitter.
So he's an Oscar performance. Of course, Kentucky bred.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah.
Well, the Oscar performance story is
listen, I'm thrilled for everybody at Millridge, so that's great. And he was a horse.
Word came this morning. You talk about that Derby field, the Japanese road to the Derby.
I'm very excited about him.
Yeah.
I can't wait to read a lot of stories about him and hear about him on Twitter.
T.O. Password is his name.
There's another Japanese horse that's going to qualify this weekend as well. And he's really good, too, Forever Young.
Forever Young, yeah. So,
and maybe one, you know, obviously they've got the goods over there. Maybe at some point they'll start prepping them in a way that will give them their best chance to win the Derby. But that'll come in time. And then people will wish they were still going to Dubai and staying in Japan to prep.
Well, the rest of that field, beside Forever Young, I think less familiar, although Pandagate, of course. But Audubon, Oasis Boy, Killer Collect, Mendelssohn Bay, Balloon Door, Rock.
Why are we reading a field of names that nobody's ever heard of?
Well, some people probably have heard of some of these. One thing that caught my eye was the one trainer there that I think has got four horses in that field.
Really, I hope people are complaining over Dubai.
Right, exactly.
Out of the game, bad for racing.
That was my Olaskoga.
Oh yeah, of course.
Has got. I overestimated. He's got three.
He shouldn't be shot just yet.
Your thoughts about Louisiana Derby? I'm curious.
Sort of a bit of a classic, not a complete meltdown, but I mean, I think that the first two were obviously nice horses, but they were both enhanced by the manner in which the race was run. So, you know, unless you feel they're both good enough to win the Derby, but also likely to get a strong pace, which may or may not be the case. I have no idea what's going on in the Derby at this point in that department. Unless you know that's going to be the case, they're probably horses that are a bit pace dependent, but they're okay. It's not like neither one has run that well in the past. And, you know, I think that Track Phantom's a really nice horse. I don't really think he's a mile and a quarter type horse to win a Derby. I think he's really good. What he's going to be best at and where he's going to find his level, I don't know for sure. I do think the third horse for Chad Brown actually ran very well in there. He was his third start. He was chasing the pace wide. He's the best one that was forward and probably ran a little bit better than Track Phantom did. He feels like a horse. I talked to Chad about it, and I'd said to him, you're thinking like maybe the Peter Pan Belmont, and he said he's thinking Preakness. Well, whether or not that ends up being the case, I don't know. I thought he ran well. I didn't have much else to say. I want to know where Hall of Fame's Big Fit came from 2 races ago, because, boy, has he stunk 2 straight races. Could he have been any worse?
No, there hasn't been much of a...
Imperfect trip. He was awful.
Yeah. He just backed out of it.
Maybe a little close to pace, it turns out, but so what? He was be one horse, so...
Well, and the horse, the horse of Whit Beckman's, Anna Marie, I thought was...
Yeah, but he, like the winner, was able to take advantage of the pace that fell apart. He's a nice horse. I'm not going to. I just, you know, those are not the kind of horses that I'm going to be looking for in the Derby. If you decide the Derby's going to be some sort of wicked pace meltdown, I suppose there are horses you would want to include in there. But those are not usually the types that I'm predisposed to be interested in a month ahead of the race. Doesn't mean that won't change when I'm able to handicap it.
Well, and of course, we've got what? We've got, you know, 6 preps yet to to produce, but you know,
people say I have my Derby horse now. They've definitely lost a lot of money betting horses going forward. It's just I'll never understand what this. I mean, I understand we like to follow horses and be aware of them and horses you're interested in, but I think we all want to be careful about marrying ourselves to horses 2 months and 6 weeks before, because then you start finding reasons to like them.
Right.
And the truth is, you're supposed to be finding reasons not to like horses. You know. That makes it easier to find the winner of an impossible race to handicap. But we'll see. I mean, right now it's very hard to have any. I don't know how anybody has any definitive opinions about this race. These horses are all running sort of okay, but not spectacular figs. And most of them have one more prep to go. And some people are putting all their eggs in one basket, right? Mystic Dam. You know, if he doesn't finish at least, maybe third, but probably second, he's you know, not getting in all in trouble getting the Derby. You know, maybe he doesn't deserve to. He doesn't finish second, but I don't know. Did run a huge figure, bias aided or not. He's not a horse that right now is on my radar, but I'm certainly open to him if he runs well in the Arkansas Derby. Even fierceness. I suppose if he finished fourth, he'd get in. But if he finishes fourth on Saturday, do you really?
Do you want to go? Yeah.
But he's hard to. I mean, he's, you know, he's obviously the one that the most attention is on this weekend, in the sense that you're talking about a horse that was a real favorite to win the Derby and looked extremely good, and obviously was sort of a bit fraudulent in his bout of youth, and he's now a horse that's run extremely well twice with very good setups, you know, very good trips. I shouldn't say he'd have a setup in the Derby. He ran extremely well, not a Derby, the Breeders' Cup, but he's run two good, really big races when there were favorable circumstances, I would say. And he's run two stinkers when things haven't gone well. And he's going to have to show at some point he can run it, run fast when everything doesn't go his own way. And he's going to have to show that he can do it as a three-year-old in the period. He drew post 10, which doesn't help him. He is a lot. He is theoretically better than that field, but we'll see. And even the horse that won the Holy Bull, right? He doesn't get points, but if he doesn't get points, he doesn't belong in the Derby.
Right. No, Hades sitting with 20. You know, I'm glad you brought up Mystic Dam, because there's this whole group, you know, that in the first round, essentially, you know, kind of established a toehold, and he's one of them. I talked yesterday with Brad Cox, who lit up when I asked about Just a Touch, who's going to go in the Bluegrass, which is shaping up.
I don't understand the pushing forward with him, but what do I know? He's on such a rush schedule, right? I mean, he's like, I mean, people say, well, Mage did it last year. Okay. Mage ran really well in the Florida Derby, and Mage's year didn't exactly turn out. I don't know, but people are in a big hurry. I mean, I guess you could say similar for Predetermined, but Predetermined did run extremely well in the Gotham. Not that Justin Touch didn't run well also, but I'm surprised that they're going to the Bluegrass.
Well, there's a few. Then Mystic Dan, Hades is mentioned. Uncle Heavy, of course, for the Wood. Cox has also got Encino, who's running in the Bluegrass. Liberal Arts runs this week. Has got 19 points.
Brad's got a pretty good barn. He's got a couple of nice three-year-old fillies too.
Yes, he does. That Impel.
I mean, he won with that filly this weekend, and Impel could be better.
Yep. Yeah.
She goes to the Ashland.
Yep. No, there's plenty of intrigue. You mentioned the one. excuse me. You mentioned Tarifa. I'll repeat what I said yesterday about Intricate. You know, who was the third well bet horse in that Oaks.
Brendan, I've never heard of. Who is she?
Intricate.
Yeah.
Well, she was. You know, she was.
I don't know. Who is she?
She won the Golden Rod. And she was second to Tarifa in the Rachel Alexander.
Oh, is that Brendan's horse?
Yes, the Gunrunner filly for Peter Peter Bradley.
Otherwise known as the horse that Brendan Walsh trains.
She.
You can call him Pete, by the way. I think he'd be fine with that.
All right.
We'll straighten out a couple names. It's Michael McCarthy and Pete Bradley.
All right.
Try it out.
Always helpful. She had she scoped bad coming out of that, and Brendan says if all checks out when they get back to Kentucky, she will press forward into the Kentucky Oaks. So
Brendan's trying to go back to back.
Exactly.
Ways and means. Ways and means returns to the Gulfstream Oaks.
Before we talk about some of those spots, I do want to get a couple of thoughts about. How good is this? I'm very busy.
Well, it was very good on Saturday, I'll tell you that.
That was.
I think he's Cloud Computing's first win.
First stake win, you mean?
I think it was his first win.
Oh, his first win. Oh, when he.
I think he might have been his first winner.
Oh, interesting. Very cool.
He was super. Wow. 103 buyer, crushed the field. Yeah, I imagine he'll be heading to the Turf Classic. I think a lot of horse. Now, it's funny. I assume, because Farbridge had been working, I assumed you would get a prep at Churchill on, not Churchill, at Gulfstream on the Florida Derby card, and he's not entered. I don't believe. Let me just look again. 30th. I didn't see him in their turf race. Hang on a second.
I've got it. I got it right here.
I know. I have it too, Steve. No, he was not entered. And I assumed he would be running there because all these guys want to get to that turf classic at Churchill. And he worked on Friday, sure, the 22nd. So I don't know if they changed plans. Could they be going to Keeneland with him? Do they decide to train right after the race? I don't know. I just thought he might show up in one of those races. You could ask Christoph. And there's, you know, there were good interpretation. I would imagine he's going to Baker's Mark, right? You gonna put Kendrick back on?
I don't know that. I'll leave that to Terry Finley and Shug. You know, did you see who's back at Oaklawn on Saturday in the Matron?
I did. I'm very excited.
I knew you would be.
I tell you, did you? Very excited to make the big Phil the great, the best horse that Tommy was ever trained.
Who's your filly is back?
It's not Sergey Empress. She's actually, I think she's in fall. I don't think, or she had a fall, right? She had a fall.
Has she yet? I'm not sure if it's been recorded.
Maybe not.
Well, who's your filly returns and returns sprinting?
Yeah. Maybe Tom will try to win another ballerina.
Do you have?
She's somewhere between what I thought, how talented I thought she was, and how talented Tom thought she was. She's somewhere between those two. I was texting with Tom the other day. I love Tom.
Well, I was. It's funny.
The great man. Did you see him in New Orleans?
I saw him several times, and I got him in a jackpot.
Good.
Which I
glad
did. Yeah, he had a very funny line about Kentucky basketball, and I immediately.
Oh boy, he's gonna get in trouble if he's making fun of UK.
That's something we all love to do.
Their fans are crazy.
They are.
That's stuff online. Oh my god. That was a great game. I wasn't really rooting against UK as much. It was just a really great game. I was sorry when they lost to NC State, Oakland. That was that UK Oakland game was an amazing game. Wouldn't have mattered if you didn't know who they were, you know.
Well, and I have not watched as much as I would typically have liked. I had the TV.
I watched a lot, actually.
Well, watched
for me. I mean, I wasn't home during the afternoons, but I watched in the evenings for 4 days.
Well, the game I happened into was the Grand Canyon's.
I watched a lot of that.
That was crazy.
I'm a big Grand Canyon fan. Is that Grand Canyon like Oakland's Oakland, or are they actually in Grand Canyon?
No, they're in Arizona.
Are they in the canyon?
I don't know if
it's tough commute, right?
Well, they.
Yeah,
you got to take the.
It's tough to get class every day.
You got to take the.
There's got to be something better for us to talk about than the NCAA tournament.
No, that's always fun.
Really? We've run out of topics already.
No, you can't go yet until John White comes.
Well, that's actually not true because I'm going to go just after half past.
That's fine. You made reference to a couple of horses we have about the Arkansas Derby. And the Florida Derby. Do you have, you want to flesh these out? What, Conquest Warrior and obviously Fierceness?
Well, I really haven't looked at the races. I mean, I'll go through the PPs. I put a poll up yesterday, and I just don't understand how people don't get this. Which one of these three is the likeliest winner on Saturday? Booth? Timberlake or Fierceness? It's not it's a trick question, guys. The answer is Fierceness. You've got two horses that are sort of two of the three top choices in a race versus one horse's an overwhelming favorite. Fierceness is the most likely winner. You may not like him. He may not win, but he is the most likely winner of those three. It's actually not a a debatable thing. It's the Pearson's is the likeliest winner of those three. But he's, I think he's currently third. Kongos Warrior is going to have to get faster. I mean, the truth of Kongos Warrior in some ways is he's oddly been a bit disappointing. Not because he hasn't run reasonably well, but I think a lot of people thought after that debut on that goofy track and how well he ran that this might be a horse that might really be interesting in Florida. Well, okay, he has done what, you know, supposedly won a maiden race, and he ran well in there. He got a bit of a trip. You know, he won an honors of one, 3-5. But 284 buyers aren't winning any races. Now, Chug is a trainer who certainly has a good history of horses really moving forward. He better take a big step forward. But, you know, to be in fairness, he won easily last time out, and his maiden win is probably a better effort than an 84 buyer. So, you know, he has the right. And listen, if Fierceness doesn't deliver in here, I mean, he's got to be second or third choice if he doesn't win. I mean, I'm just looking through. It's a bunch of relative slowsters in here. I don't think anybody really thinks that LaDon Bro is going to deal with Fierceness earlier and hold horses off. And just going through quickly, the rest of them are, I mean, obviously Hades is an interesting horse, but what's he going to do when the pace gets a little quicker? And he's going to have to run faster early if he's going to be forward. And are we convinced he's going to be effective being forward without being forward in a mile and eighth? I mean, he's the second or third likeliest winner here. After that, anyone else would be an upset, right?
Pretty much.
There's nobody here that's, I mean, it doesn't mean somebody won't take a step forward. There's nobody that looks particularly compelling at this point. Listen, I haven't looked at time for him. I haven't watched any plays. I'm just sort of glancing through. But if they had first ask, I guess you have to consider that Conquest Warrior is one of the ones. And take a quick glance at time form figs here.
As you do that, I'll mention there's a terrific story at DRF about the 20-year-old trainer of LaDon Bro, Eniel Cordero.
Okay.
It's a cool, yeah, just a, you know, 20-year-old, and even he's surprised by what this horse has accomplished in the Swain so far. So far as a 3-year-old.
Well, I mean, took a big step forward. It took a step forward in the Swale and a bigger figure step forward in the Fountain of Youth. How good the Fountain of Youth turns out to be, you know, we'll see going forward. Yeah,
exactly.
It was obviously a dramatically depleted race, so we'll see. But, you know, Dornock has run well in the past, so there's a right to be a good race. He'll be, he's in the bluegrass, I guess. As far as the Arkansas Derby, I mean, I have printed the PPs and kind of glanced the race, but I haven't done any real work on it. They're somewhere in my bag. I'm not going to go find them. Bring them up.
Yeah. I mean, everybody is going to go in knowing, you know, the Timberlake and Muth and Mystic Dan. This horse of Robbie Medina's, Liberal Arts, is steadily improving.
Well, I'd have to see what kind of trip he got last time. How much time he spent on the rail last time? I don't know. I mean, without looking at the race and knowing if he was on the rail the whole way, he isn't really improving that much. He just got a very good trip.
Well, he's come a long way. Let's put it that way. I mean, he looks like he's an arrogate, and he's been improving with distance and with experience.
Ever since Robbie Medina was nasty to me on Twitter when Jimmy Rick, you know, I were setting up a charity event for horse rescue, I find myself not rooting for his horses. So I wish him nothing but whatever.
Well, I should send you an email he sent me years ago.
Unpleasant guy. So. Never been anything but unpleasant to me, and I've never said anything to him.
I'll look for that email.
At some point, some of these people's behavior should be called into account. I mean, honestly, you know.
It's fair.
And you want to be nasty to people and have a voice, you shouldn't be surprised when occasionally they mention that you're nasty. And he's nasty. At least he's been nasty to me.
I hear you.
When I've never said a word to him.
a closer look. I'm anxious ultimately when you get a chance to look at this closer. I mean, it may very well just be, you know, the major players and everything else, you know, in a toss it in a hat. But I would be,
you know, now I'm just curious if Bob isn't allowed to run in the Derby next year, are they going to change the rules again that his horses are like purse money only starters for points, where if he wins, the second horse gets the 100? Is that the next move they'll make if they continue this thing?
That's remains to be determined, right?
It's it's their next move. Waiting on my next move. I'm curious to see how Moose does against Timberlake. It is an interesting matchup. I'm interested to see how Timberlake, will he get better figs as he moves forward and he goes longer distances? Because I wonder, is he going to be a horse that gets better or worse with distance? Muth, obviously, you know, this is his prep for the Preakness. I'm curious to see what he does. And obviously you want to see what Mystic Dan can do. And he did run a big figure at Churchill Downs, going 5.5 in the second start. So it's not as though he hasn't run. I mean, that was one of the biggest figures run by a two-year-old last year. So it's not like, you know, a big race comes out of nowhere for him. He's been completely sort of, he's got the two stinkers after that, relatively speaking. And, you know, and then he got a gold rail last time and ran this huge number. But, you know, I don't want to suggest that it's not possible he runs another big race, but you want to see it in a fair racetrack. And the good news is, I think it's supposed to be nice this weekend at Oakmont. And the more we run these preps on, you know, on good tracks, I just feel, not to say it can't rain in Kentucky, but I still think we want to see what these horses can do when they're all lined up on fast tracks, because there's just been so much rain for some of the earlier preps and looks all good for the weekend. So, which is great because, you know, Paul LaDuca is used to good weather, right? I just don't know.
The state of Pennsylvania has the best breeders program in the entire United States.
When you buy a yearling, it's a little bit like buying a lottery ticket. And we are trying to provide the lottery ticket that the likelihood is to hit the jackpot.
Angel of Empire wins the Arkansas Derby and wins it clear.
Uncle Heavy Late hits a photo finish.
Pennsylvania and the PHBA have the best state bred program in the country, bar none.
The winner, Uncle Heavy, he's a 3-year-old bred in Pennsylvania.
Who are you betting on? How about an app created specifically for horse racing? Naira Bets. We specialize in thundering hooves, fist pumping, and boosting your bankroll with robust weekly promotions, and offer betting tips from actual horse racing experts. Bet all day and night, nationwide. Get the action and thrill of horse racing with Naira Bets. $200 deposit match with promo Steve200. Visit NairaBets.com for details.
The Pons family's Country Life and Maryland Farms are the place for breeding and racing in the Mid-Atlantic. Country Life is nationally recognized for making stallions and currently stands the Mid-Atlantic's leading first and second crop sires, Divining Rod by Tappan and Mosler by Warfront, as well as Frisian Fire. Maryland's 5/8 mile training track completes the full service facilities from the folding barn to the racetrack. Join the excitement of racing with Country Life Farm, where our partnerships can take you from beginning to winning.
Your career in horse racing off to a fast start? The University of Arizona's Racetrack Industry Program is your winning ticket. The Racetrack Industry Program has served as a springboard to some of the industry's most successful individuals, with a proven track record of job placement right out of college. If you want to earn a degree in the exciting horse racing industry, the Racetrack Industry Program can put you in the winner's circle.
Visit ua-rtip.org today.
Why, in the past decade, has BRL Equine become the premier equine supplement company in the industry? Because we spend millions in research and development before we ever put out a product. Because we use only FDA-supervised facilities to manufacture for us. Because what we say is in them is in them because they work. Because if you're not happy, I'll give you your money back. And because top trainers and veterinarians in thoroughbred racing, standardbred racing, three-day eventing, and barrel racing all trust in BRL Equine.
What's going on?
To find out more how Flexify HA, Unlock, Leader Shield, and EPO Equine can help
you be, and you're good at it,
contact me, Joseph Ohio.
We're back. Thanks, Charlie, for slipping that in. One had the signal drop once yesterday in New Orleans, and now once this morning. John White swings in, and Hammer had a little conversation with Michael W. McCarthy, and
yes, got to go see hi to my longtime friend Ron McAnally down there, sitting there with one of my other favorite people there, Octavio Vergara, who is. I don't know. He doesn't change. He's this little fireball around here. I've just always liked Octavio. Real quick, I got some, what they call it, housekeeping?
Yeah.
I wanted to let everybody know out there that there's a job opening in racing, a rare opportunity for the right applicant. The University of Arizona Racetrack Program has an opening as the assistant to the director, which is Robert Hartman. Phil O'Hara, who has done that for the past four, five, 6 years, went back to Virginia Beach and is enjoying life there, and which left an opening at the University of Arizona, and it's a great opportunity for somebody in the industry that's looking for another avenue. I was fortunate enough to be called in for reserve work about 5 years ago, and actually did this for a semester, and very fulfilling. Get to work with the students, get to help set up the symposium, which means talking to a lot of people in the industry who actually are like to take your call. It's not one of you're not asking for a whole lot, but getting people on committees and you know, actually running the show there at the symposium. But the best part of this job is being an assistant professor of practice, is what they call it, and they have it down here as like 70% of your time will be spent in the classroom teaching racetrack classes, racetrack management, various parts of the racetrack industry, and you'll spend time, you'll be working for the school, so there'll be some school stuff for the University of Arizona. Benefits are included. It's a fantastic opportunity. The salary is pretty good for that living down in Tucson, and it's you can apply to the University of Arizona Career Portal. I think there's a link there at the university, and it's a great opportunity. I know they've had numerous applications already, and I think it's one of those deals that they don't, look at them until they all come in, because it is done through the school system. So I don't know how long this stays open. But at least and they're going to keep it open at least another week, 10 days. So anybody out there that's mulling a change in career, go ahead and follow this. And we'll probably talk about it again the next week or two as well. But I told them we would blast it out on Steve's show. And I know Steve had mentioned it previously. So keep that in mind.
Well, you mentioned Phil many moons ago. He asked me to be the track announcer at Arapahoe Park.
Phil's done a lot of things.
Yes, he has, and that was one. And it didn't, it just didn't work out for me. But I gave it serious consideration.
Have you ever done that? Have you ever been?
I never have been a racetrack announcer, but I did virtually the same thing. People think you called by numbers, but no. During my entire chart calling career, I called the races, and actually, my calls mean more because that's what the people are betting on. But I called the 1986 Breeders' Cup Classic here, won by Skywalker, defeating the likes of Turco Man and Precisionist. And the next year, I called the official. If you go into the Breeders' Cup records, those are my charts with the comments below. Ferdinand nosing out Ali Sheba in a showdown for Horse of the Year between two Kentucky Derby winners. So, Now, I did want to mention, you were talking about weights earlier, so I want to get this in, because one of my favorite stories of all time, told to me by Bob Benoit, this was verified in The Blood Horse by Bob Hebert, who wrote for the Los Angeles Times and The Blood Horse. In 1968, John Nehrud sent Dr. Fager out to Hollywood Park for the Californian. This was the early days of the Californian, and at that time, you needed to be an MIT graduate to figure out the weights, because it got modified later. But in those early years, I mean, the conditions ran for like half a page. So Nehrud was told originally that Dr. Fager would be carrying 124 pounds. And Bob Benoit was the publicity director at Hollywood Park, and he was called to the racing office, and they said, you've got to call John Nehrud. And he says, why? They said, we have gone back over the weights, and we were wrong. Dr. Fager has got to carry 130, and you have to tell Nehrud. And he goes, why do I have to tell him? They said, because we're telling you, you have to tell him. So he says, okay. So he gets on the phone to John Nehrud. At the time he's on the conversation, Dr. Fager, he flew out on Friday, ran on Saturday, and flew back on Sunday. He was on his way to Southern California from New York. And Bob Benoit gets a hold of John Nehrud, and Nehrud says, hello. He says, this is Bob Benoit, the publicity director at Hollywood Park. I have some news about Dr. Fager. Is something happened on the plane? Is there something? No. He's, as far as I know, that's fine. Nehrud, what is it then? He says, well, sir, the racing office has informed me to tell you that Dr. Fager has to carry more than 124 pounds. Nehrud says, well, how much? Benoit says, 130. There's a pause. And Nehrud says, it won't matter. And he hangs up. And Dr. Fager wins by 3, beating the great Mayor Gamely was 2nd, and the tremendous sprinter Kissin' George was 3rd. But that, I mean, just epitomized Nehrud's confidence, understandably, in Dr. Fager. So now the other one I wanted to mention, you guys were talking about Zenyatta. Zenyatta, who made her debut, and this is pretty amazing to me, she won her first race going 6.5 furlongs. Think of that, with her style.
Yeah.
And it isn't like, you know, Sheriff's often cranks them up, although Manistique won her first race. He's had a lot of them, but still, Zenyatta winning first out at 6.5. Then she won a mile and a 16th allowance race at Hollywood. Now she's making her stakes debut in that El Encino that you were talking about earlier. Mike Mitchell was running Romance as Diane against Zenyatta that day. Romance as Diane was a grade one winner. She'd won the Starlet and was coming off a win in the grade two by Akoa. I happened to be going down to my television position in the paddock, and Mike Mitchell got in at the mezzanine in the elevator with me, and he's running Romance as Diane against Zenyatta, who's making her stakes debut. As we're going down to the ground floor, Mike says, what do you think of that Sheriff's filly? He says, I think she's overrated. I said, Mike, I got to be honest with you. I, from what I've seen and from what I've heard, I don't think she's overrated. He says, well, we're just going to have to see today, aren't we? The door opened and we walked off. Well, Zenyatta, of course, won that race because she won her first 19th straight. But the very next day, I'm going back down, and here comes Mike Mitchell in at the mezzanine again. Now, I wasn't going to rub it in and say, well, you know, what do you think of that Zenyatta? Now, I wasn't going to say a word. We went a couple of floors, and Mike Mitchell turns to me and he goes, you were right. And he says, I'm in no hurry to run against that filly again anytime soon. Right. Now, she won Zenyatta 3 vanities. The 3rd one, she carried the most weight she ever carried, 129 pounds. And she, the one you were trying to think of earlier that Mitchell trained, St. Trinian's.
That's the one.
St. Trinian's.
And at the top of the lane, if you had in-race betting, you would bet that. Even though Zenyatta was undefeated, believe me, you would bet everything on St. Trinian's. She had Zenyatta beat that day. And Zenyatta beat her that day. And I wasn't there, but my wife was covering for the Blood Horse and came home and told me something that I'll never forget. Mike Mitchell, the guy that had said originally that Zenyatta was overrated, when his filly looked like she was going to beat Zenyatta for her first loss and couldn't do it, Mike Mitchell walked down from the box seats and stood near the winner's circle and was seen applauding Zenyatta as she was coming back, because he even appreciated the greatness that he just saw.
Well, that's what she did to people. She overwhelmed them.
I was standing, I got off the HRTV set here for her Breeders' Cup Classic. I was on with Joanne Jones. We had to get off the air because they were going to the Classic. I came down to the 16th pole, and I had made her the 5-2 morning line favorite and was criticized by Andy Beyer, saying it was absurd that I made her the favorite. She went off as the 5-2 favorite. And I thought she was very likely to win that race that day myself. And when she made her move, her unbelievable move, it's like the only race of my life I turned around to look at the crowd. I didn't have an iPhone at that time, or I would have taken a picture. But it's in my mind, that picture of the reaction of that crowd. It's the loudest I ever heard it here, with that sound reverberating off those mountains as she roared to victory that day. I mean, that was just something you'll never forget.
That was one for the home team, and they reacted as such. I was here that day down, actually, in a rare location, one of those boxes they built in.
Yes.
And so I was sitting with the selection committee crew, and it was wild because we were almost at ground level.
And I'll bet it was shaken.
And to hear that, yeah.
I'll bet that was shaken.
I was watching Summer Bird trying to make up ground to be fourth. That's what I was watching.
We all have different memories. That's one thing about this game. We all have different memories.
Isn't that a fact?
Well, it's like, how about me? Right here, right near Clocker's Corner, I watched and bet on the first Dubai World Cup. And I bet $100 on Soul of the Matter. And that's another one. He had Cigar beat.
Yeah,
and here comes Cigar to nail me. And Soul of the Matter was 10-1.
I heard a great, I heard a terrific story Saturday night at dinner that involves Cigar about almost about a private purchase. I've got to gather all those details.
Oh, good. Look forward to that. Yeah. And by the way, congratulations on the show yesterday. Absolutely one of the greatest editions of At the Races. I'm telling you, that was just, if you're a racing fan, it doesn't get any better than that. The gorilla story might rank among all time. I mean, I played that. I taped it and played it for my wife, and she was howling. I mean, I'm telling you, that whole thing, I mean, they're at midnight, and they're at the bus stop and rustling the bushes and jumping out, and then they're calling the cops. And
there were a lot of people contributed to that. Chad Schecksnader and Frank McGoey as well, you know, because they all, you know, they've all sat in on for years on DiLiberto stories. And Chad in particular, you know, he said hundreds and hundreds of lunches and dinners with Mikey DiLiberto. And yeah, that's the way we started the show, actually, just, you know, talking the great stories, the betting stories, the,
well, you like know, you the, say, you can't make it up.
No, it's all
it's truth.
Stranger than fiction. Yeah.
I mean, it really is.
Yeah.
That's one thing about racing stories. Most of them are true.
That's right.
There's no way you think they are, but yep. Somehow over the years you find out, I guess that story I heard 20 years ago really was true, right?
Well, that Dave Grenick, we were at Pimlico, and it's tough thinking about the situation in Baltimore this morning.
It's just a
devastating situation. But there was one year where Blue came up. Yeah, that, and this is the same reason why the Blue visits were always highlights.
Legendary.
Yeah, he came up to the press box and sat in with me, and then when he was done, Dave Groening followed, and Dave came in, sat down, and said, "Well, you just." It's tough to follow a legend. I said, well, the stories are just unbelievable. And he says, well, he says, some of them actually might be true.
The other thing about Blue was not only did he tell great stories, you know, that were interesting from just being interesting stories, but the way he told them, he was a master at that. He was a master storyteller.
Yeah. Well,
some people are master talkers.
He caught me at the deal. That didn't exactly come out right. He said, talking good stories is what I meant anyway. But it's funny. I told Johnny, well, I didn't mean to say it that way.
No, I took it well.
I know you did. I knew you would, but it was just funny.
Like I say, that's why I enjoyed Mike yesterday, Deliberto, because, I mean, that guy, I'd love to sit with that guy. Between us, we could do ping pong stories back and forth for, like, weeks.
No, there's things. It's funny because things get prompted that you just don't even
by the smallest things.
Yeah, and story. Yeah, it's funny. Clocker John Nichols. John has been pushing for essentially a Steven Spielberg, Tom Hanks style recordings of, you know, when it comes to Hanks. You know, well, Spielberg actually doing both, the Holocaust survivors as well as World War II veterans. And John Nichols years ago said, you know, somebody should be, you know, sitting down with, you know, with veteran racetrackers and recording stories and letting them, you know, just, you know, talk about their history in the game. And apparently Frank McGowey told me yesterday that his brother Patrick is working on a project, on an oral history project. I want to do an oral history, written that's food related to racetrack. But apparently Patrick's got a project that is happening.
Well, of course, we have the archives of At the Races, which...
Well, but they're incomplete, and
they, but at least that's something.
Well, but they, unless we specifically save... You know, highlights. I recently asked Casey about the Alan Jerkins show, and I don't think we've got it. And you know, and there's some. The Frankel is on the best of page, but
that's, you know, like my first year in TV here. They had us do a thing that we ran during the simulcast show called Great Moments. And I went around and talked to Charlie Whittingham, D. Wayne Lucas, all kinds of guys, and would just get like a 15, 20-second, 30-second soundbite. We'd pull the race like Lucas. I'd get him to talk about Landa Lucy. You know, what do you remember about her? And he'd say it. We'd show her Oak Leafs win or whatever. But those are gone. Believe me, I'd give my right arm to have those saved somewhere, but they're gone. By the way, I was talking to Tom Knutz while I was on my way here that you had on earlier. He was the racing secretary for one of the most electric days in Santa Anita Park history. As the racing secretary, he came up with a match race between Griswold, a champion quarter horse, 4 furlongs, with Valiant Pete trained by John Sadler. That thing was a huge success. Came down to a photo finish. I called the chart for the racing form. Valiant Pete won in a photo finish. This place was just, the place went crazy that day. There's John Sadler. In those days, he was known as a sprinter trainer.
Yes. That,
you know, right. Oh, he's true. Just a sprinter trainer. Of course, I think he did pretty good with Accelerate and Life, you know, Flightline and some of these others through the years.
Yeah, but, it's pretty good.
But that was a big
pretty good record.
And that was Tom Knutz's brainchild.
That's
that
right.
Day.
I was somewhere else, but I remember reading about that. We need some... different stuff.
Some creativity.
Yes, creativity is a good word.
Tom was good at that.
And it's not just creativity, acceptance of it.
I was a steward at Fairplex when Tom Knutz was the race secretary. He came with a match race there of two of the all-time great jockeys there, Martin Pedroza and David Flores. And that was a huge hit, too.
Those are always tough, the jockey matchups and the jockey, because they have to be given horses.
Yep.
And how do you, style-wise, and it's tough and
we had the one at Del Mar.
Yep.
With Julie Crone
and Gary Stevens.
And you had the Battle of the Sexes with Mike Smith and Chantel Sutherland.
Yep,
and,
that's right.
You know, some other hokey. That was a little hokey.
Some of them.
Yeah. Right.
But they're all, when I say they need to be accepted, usually from the next level up.
Oh, you know, there you go.
That's what I meant by accepted. I don't mean accepted by the public. I mean, a lot of us have ideas, but they don't make it past the next level up in management.
I was at Del Mar for a match race between Soviet Problem from Harris Farms. She was a tremendous filly, almost won a Breeders' Cup sprint. And Mamzelle Babette, who was owned by John Forsythe, who I got to know because Forsythe was good friends with Laz Barrera. And that was a Jack Bamberg filly, and Soviet Problem won that match race. So that was very memorable for me.
Well, I've discussed it with Proctor, the Willard Proctor
Convenience and Typecast.
Is it
the match race?
Yeah. See, well, New York's history, sadly, doesn't, you know. With Ruffian and Foolish Pleasure. I mean, we don't have the. You guys had way more out here, the match race.
I was watching in the steward stand at Playfair. I was working for the racing forum, but they had the TV, so I was up there. And I actually bet on Ruffian about a half a furlong into that race with one of the stewards. I bet $10 on Ruffian. I kind of almost feel responsible for my luck in it. Because I kept egging him on. Come on, bet. Let's bet. And finally he said yes, and then the tragedy happened.
In fact, one of the first times I went to the racetrack, they had the Miss Musket and Chris Everett.
Chris Everett, 50 lengths.
50 lengths. I was down by the finish line. I remember hanging on one of those little rails there and looking over, and it was one of the first memories I had of going to the races. It was 50 lengths, 50-0.
Yep, 5-0.
What are you going to do?
Jesus.
And that might have
Chris
been.
Everett was a tremendous filly.
Yeah.
And did we have
and
one?
A pretty good tennis player, too,
even after that?
Recall.
Yes, I think she was pretty good. But I don't remember.
Pretty good looking, too, as I recall.
Remember. But I don't know if we've had one.
Not lately.
Since? A real one? No.
Not lately that I can recall.
We've had. We've had them scratched down.
Yeah.
Some of the.
Yeah.
And I'm going to tell you some really goofy thing about match race. Starting with the Seabiscuit War Admiral. If you're ever in a conversation about a match race and they ask who won, I'm going to say 90% of them it's alphabetical. So the higher in the alphabet is one. So just think about Convenience Typecast. I'll take Convenience. Miss Musket and Chris Everett. I'll take Chris Everett.
The Valiant Pete one.
That was screwy, but that was a quarter horse thing there. That's what made me think of it. I'm going, that's what we would have taken. But think over, if you just go down.
That's true.
10 or 12 of them. You look like, if you have to pick one and you're in a conversation, you can just go with that.
Interesting.
If you're ever on Jeopardy, you got to pick the winner of a match race. Take the one that's higher in the alphabet.
You can't phone a friend.
Exactly.
That's funny.
I don't know, if some of the goofy things you sit there as you're.
Who is Seabiscuit?
Exactly.
Match races for 100.
Exactly.
Alex.
John. No, it would be John. It would be Alex.
We're going to pull up and back, of course, tomorrow. And I want to thank Gary Studi. It was fun to slap Gary on for a minute. Tom Knust, that was a delight, and had a fun conversation with Michael.
Don't let him hear you say that.
A delight?
Yeah.
He doesn't think of himself as delightful?
No, everybody else will. You might run with that.
Michael McCarthy, of course. Andy Serling, John White came by. John will be by quite a bit over the next couple of weeks. All right?
Early next week again.
All right. Early next week, because we'll do some recapping on Florida and Arkansas. Hammer, no tomorrow?
No tomorrow.
All right.
He scratched.
I scratched tomorrow.
No problem.
I had other plans
established,
and we'll make up for it.
There you go. Replay 6 to 9 here on Sirius XM and archive and pod, etc. Later with some post-production work. And I guess if some of you might have missed the stream a little bit, the last, I don't know, 40 minutes apparently, you'll catch it on the replay or catch it online. All right. From now, sunny and gorgeous and delightful Santa Anita from Clocker's Corner. Back with you tomorrow. Thanks, everybody.
Chimes of freedom ring. I hear what you're saying. I hear what he's saying. Is what was true now no longer so.